The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. With us in studio is Peggy Hubbard from NAMI, and we're going to be talking about mental health, business, and mental health. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You and I were together at a function, not this past Monday, but a Monday before, mm-hmm. and it was this big confab of 12 candidates for governor for the state of Iowa. And I didn't know that, frankly, there were 13 people running. 12 of the 13 were there.
Right.
And the focus of the conversation was on mental health.
Right. Pretty remarkable.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was a deal put together through Des Moines University, the Des Moines Register, mm-hmm. and NAMI, right?
Well, we helped plan it, and also the Iowa Hospital Association.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I was there covering for the Business News Hour, mm-hmm. and I was there while the governor was talking about how excellent our mental health care system is here in Iowa. She phoned a piece in, so to speak. It was a video. And I couldn't quite see the video that was playing while Governor Reynolds was talking about how many more people were serving with mental health care here in Iowa than what we ever have before. But I was watching the faces of the people in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking incredulous at the screen while and people are going scratching their heads going, what the heck is this woman talking about? So anyway, and then it went from there to each member of these people who will be perhaps running against Governor Reynolds talking about mental health care in Iowa. And so it's confusing. So that's why I called you. What are we doing? What's going on?
Well, it's interesting that of the 13 candidates, and maybe it makes sense since she's the incumbent, right? So she kind of has to defend the current system to a certain
Correct.
Degree because
I'm sure.
she's been part of it.
Yes.
But there was consensus among the 12
that were there
that the system is not working very well and there are huge problems to be addressed and people are dying as a result.
Now, we don't do politics here. We focus on how things impact business. However, this does impact business from productivity to
right.
time off to family medical leave and on and on and on and on. So it does impact business all across the board. Now, was it just politics that they were talking about? I mean, if 12 people say the governor is, you know, the governor's smoking
well,
something.
It wasn't just Democrats, let me point out.
No, it wasn't.
Right?
No.
We had
Ron Corbett was there.
Ron Corbett. We had two Republican candidates and two Libertarian candidates who would be on the other end of the spectrum. So, but there was remarkable consensus. I'm not sure how many other issues you would find in our state today that would get that kind of consensus
yeah.
from 12 candidates from three different parties that we are doing a lousy job and we need to do better.
Understood. So what is going on out here? What in the world is happening with our mental health care system in Iowa?
Well, this has been many years in the making. And as several candidates at that forum pointed out, it's bipartisan. There has been bipartisan neglect. Democratic governors have not paid sufficient attention, and neither have Democratic-led legislatures. So it's, you know, the last 7 years have been pretty much Republican control, but it is a bipartisan blame,
mm-hmm.
Responsibility. And because this didn't happen overnight.
Is it funding? Is it?
It's gotten much worse over the last 7 years, and it's been exacerbated by a couple of things.
Uh-huh.
One is, yes, the Governor Branstad deciding to close the two mental health institutes.
Right.
And to ratchet down the numbers being served at those mental health institutes.
Okay.
Because the state is completely responsible for the cost of that care. It's expensive care, and he didn't want to pay for it. That's the bottom line
okay.
for that.
All right.
The Medicaid privatization is playing a role now, especially just within the last week. Since that forum, we've learned about United Healthcare, which is the new, you know, they're taking over 200,000 new Medicaid patients.
Mm-hmm.
is refusing to pay for the integrated health home system. That means that all the services that have been provided, like Eiley Ball here in Des Moines, there's real danger that some of those agencies are going to go under. Because United Healthcare is saying we're not going to pay for that, and the contract the state signed with them allows them to do that.
Oh, so they can pick and choose?
Well,
sort of.
They can decide that these are redundant services, and we're going to just do this ourselves.
Do this ourselves,
right?
Do what ourselves?
We're going to provide the case management. Oh. And the peer support and all the things that the integrated health homes are doing now, we're going to do that as the managed care organization.
Really?
Yes.
And they have that expertise.
That's what they're saying. The other thing that we're seeing, Michael, is the department came out with just this week, a whole list of cost containment initiatives that they're saying these are all the things we're going to cut, assuming we have to make our budget. And they will have to.
Yeah, they will.
And it includes $10 million for a children's mental health waiver. So that affects like all the work that here in Des Moines Orchard Place is doing with the Des Moines schools to identify and deal with mental health issues among kids. They're going to drop women pretty much the minute that they have babies from Medicaid coverage. There's a whole list of cuts that are coming. And really what that all comes down to is the new managed care organizations are saying, we're going to go to the lowest common denominator, what they call standards, but they're national. Like, this is the minimum that we need to do. So everything that Iowa has built up over the last 15 or 20 years of going above and beyond to take care of its citizens is now being decimated.
Bottom line, Peggy Huppert, ladies and gentlemen from NAMI. I'm stunned. This is not the only cut that the legislature is going to have to deal with. There's a bunch of other cuts, but they need to find $45 to $75 million
mm-hmm.
Out of the budget. So if Iowa at one point. We used to lead the nation, by the way, in education. We used to lead the nation in lots of different things.
We used to lead the nation in health care for kids.
Hmm. Not so much anymore, huh?
No.
And do I understand it correctly that Iowa ranks 50th among 50 states in the nation for mental health beds?
For state-run inpatient beds, we're 50th. We only have 64 beds to serve our about 137,000 chronically mentally ill Iowans.
And so what is the result of having so many individuals with significant mental health problems in our communities?
Well, you referred to earlier how it's a workforce issue. Depression is the single biggest cause of work absenteeism and loss of productivity in the workforce. And that's according to the federal government, that studies have shown it time and again. Major depression is the leading cause of suicide. We had 431 Iowans take their own lives last year. Just recently here in central Iowa, we've had five young people, four young men within 5 weeks take their own lives.
And very much publicized cases of child neglect
that
have got to be somehow contributable to
other
issues.
The other thing that's happened is untreated mental illness, uh-huh. Well, the results of that are many. One is a loss of productivity, loss of being able to be tax-paying, productive citizens. It leads to loss of jobs. It leads to loss of families. It leads to loss of homes. It also leads to incarceration. 50% of the people in our jails and prisons right now, which is about 8,000 people, have a serious mental illness diagnosis. So we're paying for them to be in jail and prisons.
And that's kind of expensive, isn't it?
And 90% of the people who are chronically homeless have a serious mental illness. So those are the results.
Wow. So what do we do?
Well, actually, we have a work group that I was a part of that just had our final meeting on Tuesday of this week, and we have a set of recommendations of how to fill these gaps in our system, and we're forwarding them to the legislature and to the governor for their consideration.
And this is a conversation people should have with their legislators.
I hope they do.
Yeah, and because this meeting that was held almost 2 weeks ago was well attended. There was a lot of folks there.
Yeah, there were over 700 people who attended in person, And the Register estimates that there were another between 5 and 10,000 people who watched online.
So this is a hot topic.
It's a hot topic, and it's the number one legislative priority for the Hospital Association, the Medical Society, the Sheriffs and Deputies Association, the Teamsters Union, the Iowa Catholic Conference, the Methodist Church. I mean, you're talking about
broad.
A very diverse group of organizations that have this as their top priority.
And who should people be talking to? Their appointed legislators?
They should be talking to their legislators. They should be talking to the governor when they see her out and about. They should be contacting her office, but they need to keep at it because they need to hear we're not going away. Hmm. This is an important issue, and you guys can't just do one thing and check it off, check the box,
right,
and say you've done it.
Yeah, it's constant, isn't it?
Well, there's a whole continuum of care we need to address.
Wow. Stunning numbers, ladies and gentlemen, stunning impact on business. We're going to have all of this. If you missed any of this conversation, it's going to be up on our radio blog, so you can access this information. And we will have links as well to NAMI, and so that you can perhaps get involved and maybe question your local legislator. Is this a rural-urban thing, or is it much across the board?
It's across the board.
Yeah.
Certainly, there's better services and more services available in urban areas.
Yeah.
But even here, we have people waiting in the hallways at Broadlawns to be served, for example. But I encourage people to go to our website, namiiowa.org, and sign up for our legislative update. And that way you'll get the latest news and you'll be able to get involved.
There you go. Peggy Huppert, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Peggy Huppert, NAMI, Iowa. All right, we're going to back out. More to come on the Business News Hour. Thank you.